Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Church, I want you just to ponder that question this morning a little bit. Where would you be? I just want us just to settle in as a body of believers and just say to ourselves, where would I be today? You know, it's really, really easy to say thank you when things are really going good. But life is treating you well and things are just clicking right along. But, you know, God wants our praise and gratitude when things are going bad. And I've taught you last week the evidence of that is when you say thank you or your gratitude just wells up so much inside of you, even when things aren't looking that great. Because that's the igniter of the supernatural. That's when God comes in and floods us with grace and power and peace and strength. He wants his people to come to him in gratitude, not just during the good, but he wants us to have faithful, gratitude-filled hearts when things aren't going so well. So when we sing the song that says, I just can't thank you enough, it's exactly what it's talking about. I just can't thank you enough. I woke up this morning just with this overwhelming gratitude for such a wonderful church body. Not only ones that come into the house on site, but the ones that are joining us online, not only locally, for those that can't get to the house for physical situations, but the ones throughout the country and throughout the world. I just want to say thank you. Because people could be anywhere else today. But you decided that you were going to come into the house or join online. And I just want to say thank you. Where would Nicole and I be? Where would the pastoral staff be? Where would the worship team be if nobody showed up? It's just gratitude overflowing inside of me today, church. In the season of Thanksgiving, I want to challenge our church to look beyond the challenges of the season that we're in and look at the victories that God is going to send your way. You could give him praise for that. There's hope, church. There's still hope. As we go to the throne of the living God in prayer, I want us all to go with so much gratefulness inside of us. I want us to look beyond the challenges that we're facing or the challenges you think are coming, the situations that we're embroiled in, physical problems, emotional situations, family situations, they're always going to be there. Church, we've got a God in heaven that cares. And all you got to do is say thank you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, I just want to push through everything and just say thank you. My heart is full of gratitude today. Lord God, it would be so easy for me to come complaining. It would be so easy for me to come saying, why God? But Lord God, today I'm coming with gratitude in my heart. Lord God, I want it to overflow today. More than ever, I want it to be poured out to other people. Lord God, let me walk in an attitude of gratitude today. Lord God, let that overflow in me this week. Let that overflow in each and every one of us in Cross Point Church. Lord God, let us be thankful today. Let us be a church that says thank you. Lord, I'm not coming to you today to ask you for anything. I'm coming to you to say thank you for what you've already done. I'm coming to you as pastor saying thank you for what you're going to do. Because, Lord God, I know for what the things you have done and the things you're going to do, that's good enough. Thank you, Lord God. I want to thank you, Lord God, for the people that came in here today and those that joined online. Thank you for their very lives, Father. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together as a family at Cross Point Church. Both on site and online, Lord God, we say thank you. Lord God, I know you're going to pour out your power for the rest of this service, Lord God, for the rest of this day, for the rest of this week, Lord God. And Lord God, we continue to say thank you. We are grateful. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Church, look at somebody today as you're seated and say, Happy Thanksgiving. I'm grateful to be here.
Well, good morning, church, and a happy Thanksgiving to everyone here. And on the and if you're joining us online, welcome as well, and happy Thanksgiving. It's so good to see everybody. I just want to first let me introduce myself, but my name is Pastor Mike, and I have the privilege of serving alongside my wife, Christine, as the associate pastors here. And if this is your first time, we want to say welcome. Thank you so much for being here. If this is your first time joining us online, thank you again. We always love to see, as Pastor Brad mentioned, not just in this area, not just in our state, not just in the country. It's all over the world. And so we're so blessed and thankful for that. So I would love to connect with you. And so if this is your first time and you don't know me from Adam, right? But I want to get to know you and I want to connect with you and I want to connect the church to you as well. The best and easiest way is to do that is just by pulling out your phone and scanning that little QR code that's right in front of you. If you're sitting in the house, there'll be a little sticker that's on the pew. You can just pull that out and it'll take you right to a link that you can correspond with us. If you're joining us online, you'll see that pop up as well. It's also on our bulletin. So if you grabbed one of those and you forget maybe or later on, you're like, oh man, I should have done that. It's always on our bulletin, that physical copy as well. But I want to just welcome you. If you do that, you can just take your phone, show our VIP center, our team out, our first impressions team out in the lobby. And they want to just bless you with a little gift that we prepared for you, a box that has some just information about the church, as well as a Chick-fil-A gift card, just to say thank you for being here. We want to bless and honor you. So, hey, real quick, I just want to say thank you. If you were here last week and you stayed for the lunch, can you just give a shout? Can everybody just give everybody a thank you? Because that was an amazing. Wasn't that great? It was just so wonderful, and I'm just so thankful and filled with joy and thankfulness. But thank you for all those that helped. Our servers, all of the people who helped clean up, and I'm thankful for that because I share that sentiment with Pastor Brad. What a wonderful body of Christ! What a wonderful body of Christ! And you know what? It's easy to serve when you feel so much joy wrapped around you, and people praying for you, and especially coming off Pastor Appreciation Month. So I just want to say thank you. So I want to give a few announcements just because it's really important. We have a busy calendar coming up here in the next couple weeks. I don't know if you there's this thing called the holidays, and there's a few things that are on your calendar, I'm sure, but there are some things that I want you all to be aware of. So first and foremost, this coming Wednesday, November 26th, there is no Journey Night. We want to just say, have a great night, be home. I'm sure people are going to be preparing for Thursday, so we're not going to be meeting. There's no small groups. There's no nothing's going to be happening in our building on Wednesday night, so please just be aware of that. But then the next week when we come back on the 3rd of December, how many can believe? I just am like, it's already December. I just can't even fathom that right now. So we are going to have our first Wednesday. So dinner's at 6 on that first Wednesday. Dinner's right out here in the lobby. And then we're going to come in and we're going to celebrate and we're going to praise and worship right here in the worship center. So that's December 3rd. And then that Wednesday, December 10th, we just had what we called a missionary spotlight with Steve Wallent and his wife Christina were here from Finland. We're going to do another one coming up on the 10th of December, and that's going to be the missionary. His name is Bob Spector, and he is a missionary to the Jewish community. And I think it's a really interesting what he does specifically. So if you enjoyed being a part of the I think kind of a Q&A with Steve, we're going to do a little bit something similar with Bob, and I would encourage you to come ask questions. What is it that Bob does and the impact that he has within the Jewish population and trying to reach them for Christ? I think that's a really important thing. And so come and be blessed. And then, I know, this is crazy, Sunday, December 14th, this is what we're going to do. We're going to call it our Christmas Jam. It's right here at Cross Point. And we are going to celebrate the Christmas season right here on December 14th at our Christmas Jam. I don't want to call it a concert, but I think you're going to be blessed. We're going to have some music. We're going to sing some praises. I'm sure there's going to be those traditional Christmas songs as well. And then our December 23rd, How many, we know we've done this so many times now, but we do a Christmas Eve, because we want to just make sure that everybody has space, the opportunity to be with family, and we kind of found a little bit of a niche, I feel like, with our Christmas Eve service. We're going to do that on December 23rd from 6 to 7. Everybody, come on now, everybody's invited. Be here. Kids as well. We're gonna have probably a cool thing with our kids. I'd love to, and I'm just excited to share that with you. But we're gonna have like cookies and coffee and hot chocolate and all that. Just a time of fellowship as well. I think after our service on the Christmas Eve. So I'm excited. I know that there's a lot on the calendar, but I tell you what. I just already feel the worship. Thank you, worship team, because I just feel like we're having church. We mean business here. I mean, I'm just full. Like Brad said, I'm full of that joy and gratitude, and I hope you are too, church. God bless. If I miss anything, check out our Facebook page, check out our bulletin, and check out our website. Love you, church. God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mike. All right, church. I'm a little, you know, he's given these announcements, and, you know, Pastor Mike's daughter, Lucy, comes and snuggles up with me, and now I'm all messed up. You know, I'm just all, you know, our kids are older. Now, I know it's kind of hard for you to see that. I mean, that I'm a little bit older, and our kids are all adults. I know it's hard to tell, right? When I see my wife up here bounce around up here like she's 20, and I come up here barely able to move, but I tell you what, when I'm sitting down there, and little Lucy comes up and snuggles up with me and tells me she loves me, thanks for coming, folks. I can't do it. Right? Good morning. It's so good to see you. Are you excited to be in God's house today? We are in the season of Thanksgiving, and I am telling you, I am just so overwhelmed with thankfulness today because you are just so great, and I love pastoring at this church, and my wife and I love the staff and the people, and it's just a great, great place to call home. Thank you so much. If you haven't been here for a while, thank you for coming back. If you haven't logged on for a long time and watched the broadcast, thank you so much. We're going to help you along today during the season of Thanksgiving because we not only broadcast on Facebook, we broadcast on YouTube. You can even go to Vimeo. Yeah, that's true. I don't say that much, but you could even go to Vimeo.com and you could watch the service again there. You can go to the website, to the online campus at seapoint.church. You can watch us there. You can listen to the podcast that we put out every single week on your iPhone or your Android, or now I see ads for Tesla phone. I had no idea, right? There's Tesla phones now. Who could have ever thought of that, right? The guy's got to be into everything, right? So you could even download and listen to the podcast throughout this week. We also put out a devotional, church, each day after the sermon today. You can go Monday, Tuesday, throughout the week and do a quick devotion each morning or each evening, and it'll be tied back to the message today. You can follow along throughout the week. We're trying to continue to give you everything that you need to walk this life as believers in Jesus Christ, right? We try to do everything we possibly can to give you a blessing. You can follow along today's message if you've got the Church Center app. You can follow along on the sermon notes as we speak today. We wrap up today. You'll be able to go back to those sermon notes throughout the week and see some of the things that we discussed, and you can talk about that with your friends, family, or go over, have some coffee, and you can do it on this day, on Thursday, when you've got the family around your table, when you're celebrating Thanksgiving, you can share with them. So we're trying to get as many resources in your hands as we possibly can. We are in a two-part series for Thanksgiving called Gratitude in Motion. Last week, we talked about the evidence of gratitude, right? That's the signs that Jesus Christ is present, right? What is gratitude? Gratitude is the spirit-awakened response to God's presence that becomes visible through your words, your actions, and your worship. It's not an emotion, but it's evidence of a movement of the heart that reveals what God is, who he is, and what he's done inside of each and every one of us, right? So last week, we talked about that evidence. Now, that evidence could be just one thing, or it could be a multitude of things. Today, we're going to talk about the overflow of the evidence, right? The overflow of gratitude. But last week we talked about gratitude responds to God's presence. We gave you the story of Paul and Silas being imprisoned. And the Bible says when midnight came, they were celebrating. They were filled with gratitude, even in prison. And the scripture teaches us that all the people in prison, the fellow prisoners, not only were hearing them, they were listening to what they were doing. They were filled with gratitude. And all the prisoners were listening. Then you know the story that God came in and did a miraculous, powerful thing. But there was the evidence of gratitude right there. Gratitude becomes your ignition point for that supernatural outpouring. I firmly believe, church, that when we're not gracious, when we're not full of gratitude, we're not thankful, I just feel that God just maybe says, well, I'm just going to leave you sit there for a little bit longer because you're not getting it. I want you to be thankful in the good times. I want you to be thankful in the challenging times. How many of you know life has some challenges, right? Has some challenges. We talked about that last week. Gratitude reveals your spiritual vision, things that you would not see otherwise. God will reveal that to you. We talked about the story of Paul back under house arrest. I told you last week it was prison. Well, it is. Back in the Roman times, prison and house arrest was pretty much the same thing. So if I interchange those words, he was in house arrest, right? He's chained in the house, just like he would be chained in prison. He's not allowed to leave. He's under house arrest, right? We talked about that. He writes, I pray the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. We talked about that. He's talking about your identity, who you really are in Christ. He's talking about the inheritance you're going to get by being in Christ. And he's talking about the position you're going to hold because you are in Christ. He's encouraging us, right? He talks about those enlightened eyes, and gratitude is the key to those enlightened spiritual eyes. It's a key there, church. We talked about that. And I gave you the story of Fanny Crosby, right, that wrote all the hymns back in the 1800s. I told you the story how she was blind from a medical incident early in her life, so she never really remembered about seeing. She couldn't ever remember, but she wrote 8,000 hymns. We had Pastor Cole and John come up and demonstrate one of those hymns, right? A powerful thing. And she had this gratefulness in her heart for being blind because she said, if God didn't have me be blind, I never would have been able to do what I did. She was grateful. Some of us would say, well, that was a curse to be blind. And she saw it as an attitude of gratitude. She was allowed to see a spiritual vision that she would not have seen if she would not have been blind. Gratitude releases a witness in your life that people will really start to watch. Right? The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others. That's your evidence. And gratitude is high on the list. We talked about that last week. It's high on the list. You know, the world watches us, watches the church. There's some challenges that watches us and how we respond to them. And are we thankful that we are still plugging away? Are we thankful? Or are we complaining a lot? Gratitude should be high on your list at all times. I challenged you last week, church. I challenge you to go out and demonstrate that evidence of your witness through gratitude. And I pray you did that. I pray you went out of the house last week or shut off your device and you just were focused on you're going to show evidence of your gratefulness to heaven and pour that out to somebody else so they have evidence that God is still present in their lives, right? Today, we're going to move right into the second week and talk about the overflow of your gratitude. You can have the evidence once or twice, but when it starts to build up and it starts to overflow, some supernatural things start to show up. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So what's the overflow now of gratitude? Well, when gratitude is alive in your heart, it refuses to stay hidden. Somebody better say amen to that. It just refuses. You can't contain it. It refuses to stay hidden. It pours out in every direction. It grows where God has planted. It serves and gives with joy. It lifts others up and turns every blessing into a praise overflowing gratitude is the unmistakable evidence of the presence of God within every believer. We all should be so overwhelmed with gratitude that it just pours out of us. And we demonstrated that last week with a family in our church. Some of you were just so gracious for what a family was doing with young children. How many of us, we just love the young kids, right? And some families got together and wanted to speak to the need, the financial need of adopting children, overflowing of gratitude with evidence. The people responded, right? Overflow is rooted in this word called grace. Overflow comes from grace. What is grace, Pastor? God's unearned kindness towards us. I didn't deserve it. I shouldn't be getting it. But it's an overflow of grace. It comes from the word, the Greek word charis, which is overflow. It means grace. I don't deserve it. It's unearned. I didn't have to get it, but he gave it anyways. I didn't deserve the grace. None of us deserve it, right? That word charis is the same root that comes from a word called eucharistia. Say that three times fast, right? That means just give thanks. You know, it's just so funny that this gratitude thing, this giving thanks thing, just penetrates everything that we're going through. It can just penetrate the most challenging things in our lives. It just changes attitude, right? So I'm going to run you through a very short exercise, church. I want to show you the cycle that we're going to talk about today of gratitude emotion. And I'm going to show it to you on the screen behind me, and I want you to just to follow along. It is the cycle, right? So the first thing that happens is grace is given. That is the unearned favor. God is going to pour out grace into your life. Unearned, undeserving. You shouldn't be getting it, but he's going to give it anyways. It could be peace. It's going to be, of course, forgiveness and strength and power, right? The ability to get through. He's going to continue to pour out this grace. We can't live up to it, but he's going to give it out anyways, right? God always moves first, church. God always moves first. He always shows up first. He always is blessing, strengthening, saving, all those things. And everything will flow out of this unearned grace that he pours out in our lives. And then in our lives, we do this thing that there's a revelation in our lives, right? We start to realize that we don't deserve it, but we're getting it anyways. I don't deserve it, but I'm getting it. And we start to wake up. There's an awakening that goes on in our lives, and we start to realize that God continues to do things. I had a testimony brought to me this past week, and they said, Pastor, I don't know why it just keeps showing up, but I don't deserve it. It keeps pouring out to me. Boy, I almost asked the person to come testify in front of you today. We realize and recognize what God is doing. See, church, we don't just receive this grace. We start to recognize it, and it becomes alive inside of us. And then our gratitude builds up. We start to be overwhelmed by it. The third point. So this is the motion. We start to be overwhelmed by this gratitude. It starts to overwhelm, and you just can't leave it inside of you. It starts to move. You watched the movement last Sunday. And you're going to see more movement today. You just can't self-contain it because it's moving inside of us. And that's the evidence. It doesn't stay inside. It's got to become active. It starts to well up inside of us, but it's got to start pouring out. See, you can only hold so much of it inside of you, church, and it starts to overflow. And we start to give out, give back, and give out. through praise, obedience, and generosity, compassion, and you could just continue to add the description to that. It just starts to come out of us in various ways. And then God gets the glory. We don't get the glory. We shouldn't take the glory. God gets the glory. And that gratitude in motion that's coming out of us constantly always points back to heaven. It's not nothing I did. It's what God is doing. His grace started inside of me. I was awakened. I understood. I started to see more and more and more build up inside of my life. And it's starting to pour out. And you watch that on a first Wednesday. You watch that in things we do around the church. You watch it in your own private life. It starts to pour out. You can't hold it in. And God gets the glory. And here's the overflow. The grace flows again. As you continue to pour out, grace shows up even more than it did before. What? You're more awakened as to what God's really doing in your life. It starts to show up more strength, more everything shows up, more peace. Everything starts to well up inside of you, and you just can't contain that. And you start to give out more and more and more, and the motion starts to happen. And the more you give out, the more God shows up. And the more you give out, the more God shows up. It's a cycle, and that is gratitude in motion. Instead of sitting there saying, goodness God, why couldn't you? We start saying, thank you that you did. It's different. It's a different thought process. So here, let me break it down to you. Gratitude in motion is this: grace moves. Revelation awakens inside of me. Gratitude responds. Gratitude then starts to move. God is glorified. Grace flows more. The cycle repeats. That is why, church, you see so many people that are just so overflowing with thankfulness and gratitude. I know people like that. They just give, give, give. They just continue to pour out gratitude. So the thought's like this: grace begins the cycle, gratitude keeps it moving, and God's glory completes it. So let me clarify this for you. Watch on the screen behind me. Believers overflow with gratitude because they live aware of grace. Is there any believer in the house or watching online that realizes that you have inside of you unearned favor from heaven? Right? You didn't deserve. That's exactly right. I don't deserve it. How could he continue to do this in my life? I don't deserve any of it. I'm just a sinner. God shows up. That grace awakens that revelation, which awakens that gratitude in my heart. I'm so thankful. That gratitude awakens that motion. Gratitude is an echo of grace in a transformed heart. It's an echo. You keep sending it out. It keeps coming back. You keep sending it out. God keeps sending it. You know, it's just this motion that starts. Church, I'm going to tell you right now, we can shut that down so easily. We control that, right? We can shut that down by saying, God, I'm not grateful for anything. There's nothing that you've done for me that makes me grateful. And the motion and the overflow is shut down. Because you're telling God that I'm not thankful for the grace you poured out in my life. So let's talk about the first thing, overflowing gratitude. It then begins to multiply. You walk around Cross Point Church and you start to see this overflowing of gratitude and how it multiplies. See, gratitude understands the kingdom principle that whatever is placed in God's hand, it moves and it grows. That's what it does. It's a kingdom principle. When God is in the center, when God is in the middle, and you have a gracious heart and you're filled with gratitude, it's going to grow and it's going to move. We watched the movement last week. You watched it. You'll watch it today. You'll watch it tomorrow. You'll watch it throughout the week. And if we're not paying attention, you'll miss it. Let's just dive right into 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7. The Apostle Paul was writing to the people in Corinth, and he's encouraging them to do something. Now, I'm going to use this example. We're going to do it throughout the morning. He's encouraging them to write a check. No, I'm not asking for money, because you're going to find out this has nothing to do with money. Nothing. It has everything to do with gratitude. Let's jump right in. Remember this, he writes. He's writing to the people in Corinth. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Now, church, I got to stop. I don't know about you. Maybe I'm just selfish. I don't want to just get something sparingly. Maybe it's me, right? I want God to pour out power as much as he wants to pour it out. And Paul says, and whoever sows generously, they'll reap generously. So if you just want a little bit, just give a little bit. If you want a lot of it, give a lot of it. Right? It's exactly what he's saying here. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, but not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now he's talking about the status of our heart. And God is able to then bless you abundantly so that in all things, in all times, having all that you need, you will then abound in good works. Boy, what is that? Let's unpack that. 60 years after Jesus left the face of the planet, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter back to people in Corinth, the city. Now, this city's kind of wealthy. It's kind of like a hub. There's a lot of things going on there. The people have some money. But there's some believers in Jerusalem that are really suffering persecution. They're struggling. They're new believers. This thing called Jesus shows up and changes their world. They're being persecuted for following Jesus. They're losing out in some things they feel because they're following this new Jesus movement. Some are starving. Some are hurting. Some can't pay their bills. Some can't make the car payment, the house payment, the rent payment, the mortgage. They can't do things, right? Putting that in context for today. So Paul reaches the people in Corinth and says, listen, we're going to help them. And I'm going to ask you to do it. Now, the funny part was, when he initially asked them, they were like all over it. We're going to do it. We're going to seed an offering into the people in Jerusalem to help them because they're not where we're at. And they kept saying, we're going to do it. I'm paraphrasing. They just kept committing to do it. Paul's writing here because they hadn't done it yet. So that's why he's starting to write to them and said, listen. And he's trying to make them understand, you committed to do it, but you haven't done it. You're missing out. This entire scripture is not about the fact that he's asking them to write a check. It's about being grateful for what God has already done to you and then overflow it to somebody else who needs it. And speak to that with a gracious heart. He talks about this concept called sowing and reaping. He uses agriculture, right? If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow, right? Because they understood that. Church, that's the motion right there. The more you sow, the more you reap. But it's in the middle, he's saying, it's about your heart. It's not about getting. But you're going to get, because the Bible says you're going to get receiving of it. So he's starting to teach this, and he's telling them, you haven't done it yet. When are you going to do it? When are you going to start sowing at least a little to get it started? And he's teaching this. Gratitude is the soil. That's the sowing. Generosity is when it grows. And he talks about blessing you abundantly. He makes this comment to them in Corinth. To bless you abundantly. See, that's a position of supernatural strength and provision. It's the reason why your pastor says often you want to sow. You want to write the check. You want to bless. An attitude of the heart. He's teaching this concept. Telling the people in Corinth, you're going to write a check back to Jerusalem because these people need it. and you need to rally around to do it. It goes like this, church. Our gratitude is that fertile soil. What we sow with a thankful heart becomes part of God's multiplication plan. Our multiplied thankfulness increases capacity, and faith enlarges. That's your faith. Resources get stretched. Your joy deepens. 2 years ago, your pastor came to you and asked you to do that. We called that the 2024 resurrection seed offering during Easter. Remember that? And I said, I'm going to ask them to be stretched. God laid that on my heart. Expand the capacity. Expand your gratefulness to heaven for what he's already done for you, and start with generosity. Sow it to somebody else. That is where I got it. He's saying, write the check. Sow it into their lives, and you've never even met them. And I want you to do it anyways. And let me tell you the result as we walk through this year with Rogers Assembly of God, which is where we sowed the seed offering of Easter 2024. They hired a youth pastor, as you know. Pastor Ken Savacco gives you an update on a video. He's due his last updated video here shortly. But then I've asked Pastor Ken to come in February and preach to you, to let you know the gratefulness that he has in his heart, him and his wife Jane. Because they got to do something they had never done because of what your generosity did. A couple days ago, they took 11 kids from Rogers Assembly of God to the Reach Youth Conference. Cross Point Church sent kids, but this is a church that's never sent kids. And Pastor Ken went along. They dragged him there. He told me, Pastor Brad, I haven't been to youth conference for so long. I'm a little bit old, but I'm going to go and enjoy it. So I sent him a message during the conference, and I said, how's it going? He says, I'm dying. But it's good. I got 11 kids here, and these kids are rocking the house. And that's because Cross Point Church wrote a check of generosity, because gratitude showed up and we sowed a seed into the lives of kids, and they went to youth conference because of this church. You can give them praise, church. It's okay. Gratitude in motion. And now what do you think those kids are saying today? They came back from youth conference. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been to youth conference. I was a youth leader for many years. And let me tell you, it wore me out. And I was younger with hair back then, and it just wears you out. And Pastor Ken's like, this is wearing me out, you know, but it's great. You could watch it online, and they had it broadcast. It's just a wild time. It was never that wild when I was doing it. I don't think I could have handled it. But I want to tell you, if you've ever been to youth conference with the Assemblies of God here in the state of Ohio, it is a wild time. These kids know how to worship. And your generosity sent kids. See, overflowing gratitude always serves somebody. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, you will be enriched in every way so that you could be generous on every occasion. He's writing them. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now, if you know anything about Paul's history with this area, with the Corinthian people, he was there before. Back in 1 Corinthians, he was there, right? And he's talking about this money thing, not money, really, it's all about gratitude. And he went and started preaching. Now, preachers should get paid. Thank the Lord that my wife and I are blessed that we get paid here, and the staff gets paid because of you. But Paul went there and said, I don't want to be paid. I don't want you to think I do it for the money. So when he comes back later and asks them to sow a seed into the believers in Jerusalem that are persecuted, he says, you know, I have the authority to say it because I came to you and I was preaching and I didn't want your money. My wife and I understand that, having served many churches just like that. And Paul says, I'm qualified to do it. And he's teaching this concept. You'll be enriched in every way. Church, it's a very counterintuitive thought process. Because in America or throughout the world, it says the more you give, the less you have. Right? It's a concept. You know I'm right. So the more you're going to give, the less you're going to have. He's teaching them the more you give, the more you get. It's completely counterintuitive to what everything is. See, you can't outgive God. He's teaching this. It's counterintuitive to what your thought process is. It's against every logical explanation. You're going to be enriched after you write the check. The more you give, the more you get. But it's not about the giving to getting. It's about the heart when you're doing it. And that's what he's teaching. See, the thought goes like this: God supplies so we can supply. What he puts in us, he wants us to pour through us. He doesn't put it in, so we hold on to it. And that's why sometimes some people get something poured into them and they don't pour it back out, and they wonder why God doesn't pour back in. For much is given, much is expected. Scripture teaches us, right? And he pours something in, and he's not pouring in and overflowing it, so you just hold on to it. He's pouring in, overflowing, so you give it out. And he's teaching the concept here to these people. You've got the money. Let's send it. The funny part is they promised to send it. They just hadn't done it. So then he says, so that you can be generous in every occasion. He's teaching the concept of overflow. If you do it here and they see the evidence, you can continue to do it. Not only you, but you're teaching the concept to kids at Rogers Assembly of God that went to Reach Conference. We're here because the church sowed it into us. And now they're learning the concept of overflow. And it starts to build inside of them. So those kids one day, they're going to do exactly what this church did for them. Right? Church, I'm telling you, he's teaching this concept. The more you give, the more you get. And the more you get, the more you give. That is the overflow, and that is the motion. The more you give, the more you get. The more you get, the more you give. Why? Because grace fuels gratitude, and gratitude fuels generosity. It fuels it. And he's teaching that concept to be generous and help those poor people in Jerusalem because they're having a difficult time. It's the same thing we do around here, the same thing you watched happen last week. It was an evidence. It was an overflow. It was gratitude in motion. Grace fuels gratitude, and gratitude fuels generosity. See, Paul's teaching about giving wasn't meant to be a one-time emotional moment to make you feel good, but a continued overflow of gratitude. God's going to pour in, and I'm going to pour out. God's going to pour in, and I'm going to pour out. I'm so thankful that God trusts me as he pours in, so I can't not pour out. Paul says this comment, through your generosity, there will be some thanksgiving to heaven. What does that mean? That means your gratitude becomes someone else's praise. Your gratitude, your thankfulness becomes somebody else's praise. It releases evidence of God's presence in places you never would step foot in. See, you released in these kids in Rogers, Ohio, thankfulness. And you've never met them. Paul is saying, I want you to write a check to these persecuted Christians in Jerusalem, and you've never met them. God has taken care of you. You should be so gracious that you should pour it out and you should write the check, and that's gratitude in motion. And then these kids or the people in Jerusalem are so thankful that it starts to well up inside of them. Unearned grace shows up and it gets more and more inside of them, and they want to do the same thing. Their church is gratitude in motion. And Paul was writing about that. You lived it from your seed offering, raised in 2024 and given out early this year. Your gratitude becomes someone else's praise. It releases evidence of God's presence in places you'll never step foot in. What about this? Overflow isn't about elevation. It's not about you being puffed up, church. It's about service. God fills you so he can pour it out of you. Gratitude asks, who can I bless next? There's got to be somebody else. It's inside of you, and he's saying you've got to have somebody else. That's what we say. There's got to be somebody else that I can bless. The grateful life is a serving life. Gratitude recognizes the need as God-given opportunities. You're going to see that this year, church, because your pastor is going to come to you once again with a God-given opportunity. And you're going to be so grateful that you changed lives of kids in Rogers, Ohio. He's going to place another opportunity in front of you. And he's going to ask, how grateful are you? And you're going to watch lives be transitioned and transformed on even a bigger level. It's coming, I'm telling you. Overflowing gratitude always blesses, church. Always. 2 Corinthians 9, 12 through 13, watch what happens. The service that you perform, that's the giving, is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people in Jerusalem, it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. He's laying out the impact. Overflow of gratitude. He's starting to really get in to the whole. Overflow, because verse 13 says, because of the service by which you have proved yourself, you wrote the check, you did the giving, you are generous, God's blessed you with unearned grace and favor, and you're pouring it out, the overflow, you've proved others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got to let that soak in. You are the responsible party. And for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Paul is teaching now the impact of the giving. He says the service that you provide, the service, the giving, the sowing of the seed. In Jerusalem, your gratefulness is sowing the seed. If you're going to sow a sparingly seed, you're going to get blessed with sparingly. If you're going to show and sow something that's so huge, then you're going to reap that. But it's the service of the gift. It's the impact. And the impact is it's going to meet the need. It's going to meet the need. The people will receive your gift, and they will eat. They will have housing over them. They will be able to help other people. It's going to serve the basic needs, what he's saying there. The second impact was your giving is going to produce thanksgiving. The people that you have never met are going to receive this, and they're going to thank the Lord for somebody that they've never even laid eyes on. You know, it couldn't be any more fitting that we did this 2 years ago. And these kids in Rogers are reaping the thanksgiving in their heart because of what you did. That's the motion. The generosity created gratitude in other people, not only in Jerusalem, but a bunch of kids that were in Youngstown, Ohio at a youth conference this past weekend. Kids along with our kids. The people in Jerusalem started to thank people they never even met. Never laid eyes on. Praising God because somebody cared and they didn't have to meet them for somebody to care for them. And Paul started it all. By writing a letter. To rally the troops. And make them understand that there's some needs there that you need to address. Why? Because you should be grateful that God's already met those needs. So let's go meet the need someplace else and put it into motion. See, your gratitude becomes somebody else's praise. That was Paul's central theme. Your gratitude, church, became the very praise of 11 kids this past weekend. It's unheard of the number of kids they sent to that conference for a church their size. third of the size of this church, they sent 11 kids. They sent more kids through the resurrection seed offering than this church actually sent. Gratefulness, thankfulness in motion, overflowing. Overflowing acts of gratitude is the real evidence that the gospel is at work. It overflows forward, church, spilling into another community, igniting worship miles away or down the street. Let me give you a real life example, so maybe we'll put it in a little bit of context as we bring this into our landing. Pastor Mike and Christine send their youngest, Jude, to a Christian school right down the street, Canton Christian School. I didn't even know it existed until they started sending their kids there. One of them, Jude, right? Preschool, right, Christine? It's an upstart school. They're struggling, just like any upstart school would, but they're booming. And they came to the church and they said, listen, we want to have a Thanksgiving program, but we have no place to have it. We have no building that we own. We have no gym. We have no facilities. We don't have the ability. And we wanted to keep it as close to home, right down the street, as we can. So they came to Cross Point Church through Mike and Christine, who then came to me, said, Pastor, what can we do? And I started diving into who they are and what can we do. Your pastor and the staff are so super grateful that we have a 42,000 square foot building with all brand new heating and cooling in it to make it nice and comfortable, with a gym down the hall that's huge, with a sanctuary that seats 600 people. There's a balcony up there. Did you not know that? Right? It's a balcony. I believe it will be filled one day. They had no place to go, and Mike and Christine said, can we give them a place to go? They need it. I said, let's do it. How much will it cost? Nothing. My heart's so filled with gratitude for what God has already blessed us. Let's just sow it into them and let them come for free. Did we not? We did. So this past Friday, 2 days ago, they started to fill the house. Our gym was packed full of kids. I'm overwhelmed with gratitude to heaven that we had the opportunity to bless them. Church, they came into this sanctuary and they had a program with a bunch of kids. Look on the screen behind me. Overflowing of gratitude, set into motion. Didn't cost them a dime, but your sanctuary, this worship center that you sit in on a Sunday morning and at times on a Wednesday night, was filled with families full of gratitude, and it didn't cost them anything. Why? Because Cross Point Church is filled with gratitude, and we were overflowing with it, and we just wanted to set it into motion, and there it is. Same thing that happened in Youngstown with Rogers Assembly of God's kids happened here on a Friday. And we filled the house. And I am grateful. And I just wanted to send it forward, right, Pastor Christine, Pastor Mike? And we did that. Church, I'm going to ask you here in a minute to ask heaven where you can sow in 2026, what you can do, how grateful you are, because your pastor is going to come to you in 2026 with some opportunities. We're going to rally around the altar and we're going to sing the song, The Blessing. The song, The Blessing, is gratefulness. Gratefulness for the peace and favor and presence of heaven in our lives. It's talking about staying grateful even when things don't turn out the way we expect. We stay grateful. We are a church that is blessed. We are families that are blessed. And we have to maintain gratefulness in our hearts so it overflows and then we can send it out to somebody else. Church, stand with me and let's rally around the altar and say, Heaven, we are a blessed people.
In the evening, in your coming. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, I'm grateful that there are gifts that manifest in the church.
Amen.
Acts chapter 2, they poured out power. God poured out power. And the church was birthed by people speaking in unknown tongues. We as the Assembly God Pentecostal Evangelical Movement, we don't shy away from anything in God's Word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul wrote about those spiritual gifts, someone's going to give a gift of tongues, and for the body to be edified, somebody's going to interpret. There is absolutely no correlation between the time of the tongue, whether it be 30 seconds or 5 seconds, and the interpretation thereof. God will do whatever God has to do to get it through our heads. Right? I'm gracious for that. I'm grateful that God thinks enough of us today to send a message to us. Thank you, Lord. Raise your hand and let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord. You are so gracious, Lord. Father God, I'm overwhelmed with gratitude today, Lord God. I pray in Jesus' name that the flock here at Cross Point Church, both on site and online, that they continue to walk in overflowing gratitude. Lord God, that you set that in motion, Lord God. They leave the broadcast today or they walk out the door and they commit, Lord God, they're going to allow that to overflow and set in motion the power of the living God in the eyes of the unbeliever as well as the believer. Bless the church, Lord God, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, before we leave today, I want you to commit to something. Look at the screen behind me. It should be up there. If they put it up there, I would appreciate we could put it up there. Well, you're going to repeat after me anyways, right? There it is. We commit as a church that gratitude will be our overflow. We will multiply it. We will serve. We will bless. We are a people of gratitude in motion. Give him praise today, church. Hallelujah. My wife and I just want to say this season of Thanksgiving that we love you. We are overwhelmed with gratitude in our hearts that we get to serve and pastor such a fine group of people, not only in the house, but online. Thank you so much. Church, let's have a great Thanksgiving season. And if you find somebody that needs an outpouring of love, of gratitude that God's given you, you better overflow it to them, just like you committed to today. Let's go out as people with attitudes of gratitude in our heart. God bless you all. Happy Thanksgiving.
We love you, church. Be blessed. 3, 4.
I give thanks for all.